Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. What's going on, everybody? You hear us in the chat? Maybe. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Can anybody hear me? Does anybody remember how to do this? It's been a while. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast, sometimes referred to as Three Men and a Baby. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining this week's roundtable, we've got Flary and Vata Trading's Baba Yaga. Tonight, I didn't update this part of the script, but we're probably going to be talking about some stuff that we did this week, process reviews, and how we were using some of those stats to inform decisions. Let's see. After that, we'll sum up our past week in the good, bad, and ugly before wrapping up with some new bold predictions. Before we check on those ongoing results, let's get that self-promotional stuff out of the way. Baba.
Yo.
Talk to me, buddy.
What's up? Hey, I don't know. What I have for us is most likely... the plan is that this coming Friday, we are going to live streaming the Free Friday thing together with Vico and the guys over at Trade Pro Academy.
Are we going to do it on their Discord or are we going to do it in ours?
I'm not sure if he's going to come to our Discord or if we're going to take the show to YouTube and just do it there together. We don't really know, but... it's in the works, baby.
That's about time. I know we've been talking about that. And I think he was on vacation or trips and around Europe.
Who knows what, I think that's what he, that's
that
like,
guy does.
That's what he does. So
apparently he can only do stuff in the mornings because he's too busy drinking at night.
Well, I asked him how the cough thing was going because he had a cough this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And he just sent me a picture of, like, I guess it was tequila or vodka in a glass. And I was like, oh, I guess you're getting it taken care of, buddy.
Yeah. I think NyQuil works a little better.
hard pass. Hard disagree.
Right. What about you, Flair? You got anything going on?
I mean, not much, man. Just doing the thing with the pod of traders that I chill with. And, you know, want to do a little shout out to my boy, Red.
Oh God. Yeah,
man, this guy. So I met a guy at the local poker tables here, a little bit over a year ago. And, we've done some sort of like information exchange, whatever you want to call it. But I've been by far the beneficiary of this deal.
oh, that's the guy. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. He's the one.
So, you know, again, I don't want to say like he's coached or whatever, cause he doesn't do that, but like, we're just a little bit more open with our information and our edge and whatever, than just sort of like whatever normal, whatever relationship. But anyways, since meeting him, I've got 3 5-figure scores. I've probably cashed for like, you know, north of 80K in poker tournaments. And I'm pretty sure he hasn't made 80K trading. So anyways, all of that to be said, I was just sweating and rooting for him super hard because he made the MSPT final table, which is like the biggest tournament that comes into town, $1,000 buy-in, and took the whole thing down. He is now an MSPT champ, $142,000 score, which is now bigger than my biggest score and his new biggest score, which is also good, right? The coach, yeah. The coach is above the student. But man, just couldn't be happier. Like I honestly don't know anybody who works as hard, or is like as diligent and focused, which is why, you know, when I met him and I saw him at the tables, I was like, man, if you took this skill set, you know, and he does well in poker, like if you took this skill set to the charts, I think you could probably make more money, once you get it sort of figured out. So it was really just like cool to watch somebody who's like that steadfast in their system and their approach to something, whether it's, you know, this game or trading or whatever. To have success like that. So, you know, big shout out to Redman. Congratulations. Couldn't be happy for him. It was just, it was cool to watch, man. I even got to be in the winner's photo. So, yeah, it was fun.
With the money on the table, they still do that?
Not quite the money, but all the chips and the trophy and all that good stuff, man. So it's just, it was a cool experience and got to hang out. I actually made a final table the same night too. Went up there to sweat him. And you know, it was clear he was going to make a deep run. So I jump in this other tournament. I end up chopping that other tournament, for, you know, essentially the win. So we both final table. His was, you know, a little juicier than mine.
A little better.
about 142X better than mine, but hey, you know, right. I mean, a win's a win. So,
let's see, what else we got on here then? So show news, last week we did release that Quincy special, the project that I was in Boston with Eric Basin for. The city had actually issued the first blockchain-based bond in the U.S. using J.P. Morgan's Onyx platform, and this was kind of a big first step towards democratizing government debt. So definitely check that out if you want to learn more about the how and why they did what they did. We hadn't really started promoting it yet, still waiting on hopefully some potential sponsorships, maybe take this show to another level.
Yo!
If you do have any questions or suggestions for future guests, or if you just want to yell at a stranger on the internet, you can definitely do that via our Twitter, join the Discord, or you can just slide into our DMs. Next week's guest, Tomas Blymuth, was actually sent in to us by Lucas in Sweden, so a special shout out to him for setting that up, as it makes my job easier. And as always, visit Bandit Traders Podcast, where you can browse the guest directory, check out all the deals and discounts we've collected over the years. All right, anybody remember what predictions were from last time we all talked?
Man, we've been off. You've been traveling, I've been playing cards.
It's been like 2 weeks, yeah. Right?
It's the band has been unbanded for a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's disbanded, actually.
Disbanded. Yeah. Oh. Unbanded, disbanded, same thing.
I think it was a bunch of Masters predictions. I don't know if that was the week Baba was gone. I see he's got the Masters hat.
Yeah, you're right. I had a sweat running for a little bit of the four-way whatever, and then yeah. He just ran away with it at the end, and everybody else shit the bed, but whatever.
It was like 3 or 4 holes into the
yeah.
final round. It was looking like it might be a possibility.
Yeah.
Let's see. Someone also had Scheffler going to leading on Sunday and having to quit for the baby. That didn't
happen. That was Banks.
Oh.
Yeah. Baba, did you do anything stupid to get on TV?
I was probably on TV. I haven't gone back and looked, just based on where we sat for the last part of Saturday. But it was a good time. So, but I didn't know. I mean, like, if you do something stupid, you can't go back. I'd like to go back. Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Wait, like ever?
Yeah, you'll lose the badges.
It's like the Vegas blacklist. Oh. Like, there's no second chances at the Masters. You just get the one.
Yeah.
Do people still yell Harambe there? Or they quit doing that.
That's not a thing anymore.
Damn it. All right. Baba, should we jump into tonight's topics?
Yeah, I think we should.
So this one, I kind of wanted to continue the discussion that we were having on Thursday on the live stream, where I think you were at the point where you wanted to do a bunch of process work. And I know that I had been at that point where I wanted to do a bunch of it, but I didn't really know where to start. So you kind of walked us through like a bunch of the stuff you were looking at. And it was just a real cool glimpse at like the look at how your process and like how you incorporate stats into that data. And I just kind of want to talk a little bit more about that, like some of the things that you're finding. Maybe talk about how we do those process reviews and how you actually implement changes, maybe something along those lines.
Yeah, I would say there's a difference between maybe how I am prone to incorporate work and what I think is the best path to incorporate work. So I'm trying to lean more into what I consider to be the best path. And I found that has become more and more important to me based on, you know, where things are for me and like this whole trading as a real life business. You know, it's not like for the memes or the giggles anymore. Not that I was ever flipping about it, but, you know, it didn't have the magnitude of implications. And so, you know, I talked to a lot of people before this whole jump, and one of the things that came up a lot was like, how confident are you in your process? And of course, at that point, I was like, whatever, dude, like rock solid. Hello. And the other thing would be that maybe what I leaned the most into in the first three quarters of 2023, or the first two quarters, especially of 2023, I did have a fair amount of stats work on expectancy work, degradation of like value in the trade based on how long it's taking to develop, blah, blah, blah. Like it wasn't just observational. It was like statistic and numbers based. And when I saw that kind of degrade a little bit and kind of just, you know, began to expand, maybe take the core, like a more core piece of my work and kind of pull it back to just a part of the work, I didn't reboot like the stats process, because one, I knew there was edge there mainly because I had experienced it enough to like know, and like I had back tested, like as in going through charts and stuff, but not back tested in like a way that like spit out statistics and actual information.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was on the binge. I was binging on that, and I didn't want to do it because when I start something like that, I like it all encompassing for 24 to 48 hours. Like that's all I want to do. And even if I don't want to do it, I almost like have to, like I can't not once I start. And that's happened a few times throughout my, you know, trading time where I get locked in on really digging into stats and it turns into a whole thing that it's just a lot of work. You know, I mean, it's just a lot of work and there's a lot of variables and you have to be really careful that you're not screwing something up. And I didn't really want to do it, but I also knew that if I was going to be able to lean in the way that I need to and like speed and confidence, that was going to have to be, I was going to have more than just, well, generally this trade goes this far. And generally I like to see this when it goes. I really at this point almost needed that to have the confidence that I need to have. So I'd had, and it's the last little part, but I'd had like the last like 8 weeks or something have been markedly different than the first part of the Q1 for 2024, which has been encouraging and enjoyable, probably for everybody, myself and everybody in the room probably has appreciated, you know.
I've noticed we're on the same page a lot more, which I do like.
That too. And so I think it's, you know, for me, it's been great. And I think some of my like mental, you know, some of the challenges of adapting to some of the new stresses and things like that had gotten to a healthy place, but I still saw some little chinks in the armor that I just didn't like. And I thought the best way to shore those up would be to go ahead and do some of that stats work that I really didn't. I love having the numbers. I just don't like the work of it. It's hard. And I have to ask for help with that, like, because I'm not great at it. And so, you know, shout out to Flary, who helped make sure that what I thought I was seeing was actually what I was seeing, like, with the results, because I didn't want to be pulling bogus stats. And once we were squared away there, then, you know, it just began a process.
Can we stop right there for a second?
Yep.
What you just said there, needing help.
Yep.
That is, I'm trying to think of how to say this. I think that's something that stops a lot of us from actually doing that work. You get overwhelmed. You don't know where to start, or you don't know how to interpret the data you're looking at, or you don't trust the interpretation or the work that you did.
Yeah.
But to be able to have somebody to go and call up and be like, hey, can you walk through this with me? Or have,
yeah, I have sent somebody a preemptive, who's, yeah. I sent a preemptive message like the day before or the morning of before.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, hey, man, it's that time again.
I knew it was going to be a long night. I ran to the liquor store. I was like, all right, let's go.
Well, why is that, though? Why do we think we have to do it all on our own?
Well, I mean, I think there's a part of it that it requires you have
to put the most of the work in, but you can get help if you need it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we're all friends here. You can do whatever you want with this part. Like, that is a part that is my, I love the data, like, and I can get jacked about it. It was the same way when we were doing a lot of the day type stuff. I mean, and that was like all encompassing for like the better part of a week, if not more, where I was just diving into Python, ChatGTP. Like, that was because I didn't really realize the robustness of some other ways to do that, that we could do that real easy now. So I think that, you know, I don't like how all encompassing it is. It takes over for me. Mm-hmm. I can't trade if I'm not finished. If I start that, I know I can't really focus on the markets until I get to at least a certain point with that work. Because then it feels like you're like halfway, you know?
Well, you also are waiting for this data to make better decisions. And if you've started the work to get the data, then you don't want to be making decisions if you know you've got a better, potentially better way of doing
exactly.
it. Exactly. Just around the corner.
But I think the asking for help part is, you know, I don't mind helping folks. People text me and DM me and Twitter message me for, well, they all kinds of things, but sometimes for like, hey, can you talk to me about this, or can you look at this? And I consider that somewhat of a privilege. Like, I think like, wow, that's a real, that's a lot of trust to put in somebody that you don't know, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I would think very rarely be like, heck no, I'm not helping you. You know, like, even like if I didn't know them, I would at least give them an ear. Right.
Yeah.
But I also know that when I'm going to launch into that, I'm going to have to bug Flary a little bit. If nothing else, again, like I said, if I was perfect at all of it, I would still want like, hey man, can you look at this? Like, am I crazy mm-hmm. here? Which I think is like one of the messages I also send, like, hey, can you make sure I'm not crazy? Like, will you look at this? And I tried to explain it via texting, and he's like, can you either say it like I'm five or share your screen?
I mean, I think there's like an element, you know, two parts of fear. One, it's like, if I find out how hard this is to actually get the answers that I want to get, am I going to finish the job? And do I want to ask this person for help if I am not confident that I'm going to actually follow through with it, which is why I'm always willing to help people that I'm confident are going to follow through. And Baba, clearly fall in that category. Like you mentioned, you're just going to go, you know, you're going to go deep into it for, you know, whatever, till you surface with the answers. But the other part is like, you trade something and you make some observations, and then you're like, God damn, I'm about to find out if this is right. Like, was this what I think it is?
Yes.
And I think like once you get to a certain level, like for the most part it is, but I think you also find out that like, oh wow, I didn't even look over here or think about breaking down the strategy in this way or that way. And you maybe find out more about a strategy that you never, you know, would have even sort of found just continuing on in sort of like the natural observation state of a setup development. Because when you start diving into all the permutations of the stats and potentially different scales, should you even scale? Where is the EV decay? And some of like these more nuanced things, you actually start to like really like crack open Pandora's box of this sort of observation-based setup that you've had. But until you do that, like that first test when you run it and you're like, oh God, like there's a fear factor there of like, man, is this thing just brownie batter? Like, is it just like a break even, you know, cherry pick thing that requires my discretion in order to like avoid bad setups and only take good setups, which, you know, is not a great place to be, honestly, because there's a lot of those. Like, you can find a 51% equity setup like literally anywhere on Google. It's like finding one that's like 6 to 8% always, like raw EV. We talked a lot about raw EV and raw equity of setups. Like, when you find something that has, you know, I mean, shit, they built Vegas on 2%. Like, when you find something that's like 6 to 8%, well, I mean, honestly, like, there's like a, like, and like, then you know, like, oh, wow, my observation is what I thought it was. And the raw equity is there. And now when you dive into all the different permutations, you get to like the fun stuff, right? Where you spend 48 hours just like diving in on like, okay, like, my strategy was very vanilla and my observation was this. And now I know this, this, and this. And I'm going to go try these things on, you know, when I see these setups in the market, and ideally you start to realize more equity out of the setup versus just like the observation equity that you had originally. So it's, I mean, it's a scary sort of like time, because most people don't just dive into stats collection, right? Into like just finding it out, or whether it's Excel or you have some code or whatever you're doing. It's typically that like observation equity, right? Like, you're like, this looks good, and I'm going to keep watching it, and I'm going to try it, and I'm making money, or I'm breaking, like, whatever. At least you're trying it, right? And then you're like, okay, I've spent enough time on this thing, I believe in it, let's do the work, is usually the pattern. So it, you know, I mean, to your point of like, why do people fear asking, you know, for help in these situations? One, it's hard. And once you find out how hard it is, most people probably just don't do it, or don't want to do it, or don't follow through on it. And two, you might get an answer you don't like, right? Because you just like, you're married to this, you know, whether it's from an ego, like place of ego, or, you know, just like, whatever, like, I've spent so much time on this, I don't want to just throw it in the trash because now I know it's not good.
That's, I mean, that's
just
a real
stole
thing.
My point. I was just going to make that point. Like, part of the fear of diving in and really trying to examine the stats of something is the idea that it might be wrong. It's like, yeah. It's like having a lottery ticket that's not been, or a scratch off that you haven't scratched yet. Right. It's a potential winner until I scratch it. As soon as I scratch it, then I know the outcome is set.
Yeah. And I'll say for like this specific venture, I mean, how many back tests are in the trash can?
Yeah, exactly. A lot.
Well, not many for me, because I don't do all. I mean, a lot of, I guess it depends on what you mean by back test, but I spend more time in the observational and like the kind of pushing and see if it moves phase, like push in, watch it, see how it reacts, look at it on this day type, look at it on that day type, trade it live. I spend more time doing that than probably is beneficial. It can create some real challenges. What I found out, just, you know, when it really matters, if you are also kind of doing that without the confidence of that stats work, or at least for me, your confidence in yourself and like your comfort in execution can get, like, the mental side can get wonky. Especially for me with like the newfound, like this new world that I'm in, like of trading, new as far as the implications of it. And then you're like, no, I wouldn't say like halfway with the strategy, but you're definitely, it's all similar to what I've always done, but with some reasonable adjustments. And then you start having a couple of like struggle days or whatever. And I think like I was a little more vulnerable to getting like frustrated, discouraged, or whatever. We've talked a lot about that with Flipper and his confidence and pull the trigger, see it, and all of how inspiring some of that was. And I was like, man, I am missing that from what, cause that used to be how it was. It reminded me that's how I used to sling it. And lately I have not, it's not been that way. So I kind of like amped it back in and like locked back in for the last, 6 or 8 weeks. And that's been, or 6 weeks or whatever it's been really good. But then I thought, you know what, I need to go ahead and finish this off like with a couple of key data points and really collect on this. So that's what I did.
I think I love what CP just posted in the chat there. It says that oftentimes you revisit things you couldn't find a place for, and 3 months down the line, the light bulb goes off and you notice it's a place that can work alongside his other work. I had a moment like that. I don't know if it was last year, coming into the last year, where I think I I think I was looking at a setup in the completely wrong way. I was thinking of a setup as being, I was thinking of entry methods as being setups. And once I made that switch, I think, once I realized that all this other work that I've done on these setups, but are actually entry methods, when I started applying them in the right places, then I noticed something special happening.
That's really the magic too. And that's what I messaged you back when you talked about this topic. And that was really the part, I think, of the back testing that I wanted to shore up. So let's say I have five things that are setups for entry, or like that are entry methods. I could go look, but let's say there's like five, let's just for the sake of this conversation, the five things I'm looking at that could get me into a trade when we get into an area I want to trade, which has been that's how you trade. And that's, if that's new to anyone, then like you should probably look into that, right? I didn't know which one carried the most edge.
Right.
In that context, in one, and I'm talking about one specific context. There's one context of this creates a level in flow as the market's going through the day. Boom. Okay, this happens. I know I want to trade there, but which of the five is the one that bangs at that time? When that happens, which one is married to that the best? They all will show up sometimes only one, sometimes two. So which one is the A+? Like which one bangs a certain percentage of the time for 100 points? And I'm not saying that's the criteria for a good trade. I'm just using that in an analogous fashion to say I couldn't answer that. And I knew that I didn't know the answer to that. And that's why sometimes when I would take entries, you know, there's been times where you said like, what'd you see there? And then I explain it. And then like another time I take an entry and you say, what'd you see there? It's completely different. Oh, well, what'd you see? Why'd you take that entry? Well, because of this. Well, and then, you know, it's like, well, which one of those things do you actually like? Which one of those things really bangs, Baba? And I'm like, well, actually, if someone asked me that at that point, I'd have been like, I mean, I like this one the best, but I don't know. There's still a lot of work to be done, but I had to, you know, I'm in a really great spot with what I've got. And, you know, if it didn't get any better at all ever, like, that's fine. Like, if what it is what it is, I'm cool with that. But there's still more work to do on that front. But I know now, I know for sure.
And sometimes it just comes naturally later, right? Like you've got a new level of confidence based on the stats that you have. You'll have new observations and you'll start to, you know, sort of like naturally filter out losing trades and characteristics of winning trades and potentially like, you know, like filters and stuff like that. Because
yeah, and there's always nuance too. You talk about nuance all the time, Flary. So when we were running I was sending screenshots back and forth. We were talking about that the other day and through today, and Kyle sent some of that to you as well. That is just testing the most like basic form of an idea. You know, in theory, like I know that there's alteration. There's like an alteration of that is really, really good.
Iteration,
yeah. An alteration of the entry, an iteration of the setup. That's also really good, but it would be too complicated to try to backtest because it's got like too many conditions.
And it's going to show up like once every 3 weeks, right? So it's like, oh, wow, I found this one thing that works 90% of the time. It's like, well, yeah, that condition where it's a 100-point gap on a Thursday. The setup happens between 10 and 11, and there's, you know, 600 negative cumulative delta in this bar. Like, it's like, okay, that's going to happen once every 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got 100% win rate, but what are you going to do? Just pile in 1,000 lots and now the trade's done. And
well, I mean, like, because Max Thomas, I think, had a lot of setups like that in his tool basket. Like he shared like five of them that you may get like six trades a year or 12 trades a year out of some of these setups. But if you can build a big enough portfolio of that, then suddenly maybe it becomes valuable.
Yeah. I mean, you should know what they are, right? To some extent, like you should know what, right. You should know what the super version of your setup is. But if the setup happens also five times a day, right? Like you should know the raw equity of
what, opportunity.
Yeah.
Is
yeah. I mean,
just as important
occurrences.
Yeah. So like, I mean, we were talking a lot about Sharpe too. It's like, when you have a trade that has the frequency that's high enough to, you know, scale, right? Mm-hmm. One, you know, great it works in this product. Does it work like agnostically across a bunch of products? Two, is the opportunity present multiple times a day? And then three, like, is the raw, like, can I just take every version of it, right? Like, the market tends to reward risk. And so, like, looking at the raw equity of a trade, like, just like that, if I just buy this spot, if I just sell this spot when this setup happens and I give it room to work, how often does it work? Like, basically, can I just do nothing and not screw this up and make money? Like, those are like really great places to start, right?
You're gonna say a little too much here, aren't you? Now,
I'm not giving you trade secrets, right?
No, I mean, that's
important. And then, like you were saying, like you start diving in and like doing some of the like advanced, like maybe combo work and signal work with like, you know, times of day, trend filters, things like that. Cause like you can start to get like a little bit too hyper focused, but like if the thing just has good raw equity, like it and it happens a lot and it's product agnostic, like all of a sudden now it's like, okay, well, NQ is a little sleepy today, but CL is looking nice, you know, and it might not have the same characteristics too in say UB or ES, right? Like, NQ's, you know, relative vol per dollar per tick when compared to ES, like you might have to actually gear the trade that, like, it still might have good raw equity in ES, but like the best way to optimize the trade might look completely different in ES than it does in NQ, completely different in RTY than it does in ES, and, you know, so on and so forth. So like it's also important to understand, you know, like if it's only an NQ setup, God bless it, whatever. But if it's product agnostic and there's edge to be found, that's where like you see these guys, you know, like the mid cap gapper traders, like they're just waiting for something to gap up, you know, 50 to 100%. That's like under $20 and just short the ever living shit out of it, like on pops, you know, because they can go like, so their edge is in scanners, right? And finding the stock that's in play. And they're just hammering one setup, but they can do that because there's a, you know, a pool of opportunity, right, every day for their setup to be present. If you're looking for a specific setup, which is why some setups are better than others, because, you know, if they're based on, you know, certain characteristics that happen daily, not giving away your edge.
we can talk about as much as we want.
Yeah. I mean, like if they're based on range, if they're based on time, if they're based on things that like are just symmetrical to any day, you know, like there's more opportunity. But like, say something that has to be very specific, like, you know, a pattern based on delta or something like that, it might not happen. You know, you might only get like a few trade opportunities, maybe a week, you know, like less than one a day. So I have like a lot of setups that are like a 0.8 a day. So you don't see them every day. So you have to scan for them and like then know, like to your point earlier, Baba, like, The stats work gives you the conviction. You have sort of that like observational conviction. Then it's like, well, this only happens like every other day or so. Like, is today the day I'm going to lean into this? But once you know the actual like statistical value of the setup, when it shows up that 0.8 times a day, like you just know, okay, I have to fight for this trade. Tuesday was a great example of that. Like, as we were like coming into a sell side trend break. And it was also like a rollover of the like aggressive auction from a delta perspective. When that happens into RTH, it's like 69% of the time we are going to be, I'm sorry, 59% of the time we are going to close lower than we opened. So you have a sell side trend break, you have you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you know it, like you know it because you've seen it, but now you know it and you know what it's worth.
There.
And so there's like a different level of, I like, today here's my plan and I'm going to hit this trade and I might lose, but when I win, this is what I'm going to win.
Larry,
go ahead.
Have you ever gotten to the point where you get mad if you miss a setup that lost?
Yeah, or even like worse, like, I mean, let's just be honest, like get like, oh, squirrel before my setup, like some fucking order flow comes in or some dumb shit that I like, I'm like, oh, look, I'm going to get long here. And like, I really like, I like spent 30 minutes planning on how I'm going to short up here. And I long here and now I'm stuck in this long. And then the setup I plan for and I have all the stats on rolls, you know, or even like, you know, like the other one is like, there's some merit to good enough, but like I try to trade from level to level. And like when you know the expectancy of your trade and then you leave it on the table, like for P&L, for just like the feels, whatever, it does kind of become to the point like you're just disregarding the information that you have, and you're sort of stealing from yourself in some way. And, you know, then it becomes an internal look of like, am I as confident in the setup as I should be? Are the stats as good as they should be? And if those answers are yes, then I'm just scared to hold this to the expectancy, because what if it comes back? What if this is the day that it goes three quarters of the way to expectancy and comes back to break even? And I think what you have to realize is that if you trade it in a vacuum to the expectancy, you get what the back test, you know, says in theory, right? Like, future 70, what is future trader 71 or whatever the fuck, he quit now, yeah. but you used to always say that like before every show, like past results don't dictate future, whatever the fuck, but it's but at the same point, like if you know, right? Like if you've got a large sample size and this thing is supposed to go, you know, like the Delta continuation, the Leroy, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it goes 75 points. During this down auction, 68% of the time, it's going 75 points or closing the day red on the sell side. So if you get into a position based on that pattern and you hold it for 30 points and you're scaling out at 10 and 15 and you see these guys doing great. Like, I'm glad I could see your triangles, but it's like, psh, 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 psh. Like, dude, if the setup says 75 points, it should be one triangle and 75 points. And, you know, like anything in between is you arbitrating, you know, and I can get behind paying for your trade. I think like Pax does that really well. He talks about his pay lines and things like that. But there's paying for your trade. And then there's just like, it feels good to not be in this risk. And yeah. That's the journey. I think like once you get into the stat side of things, it's like getting over that it feels good to not be in this risk and getting to that it felt great to execute this setup. You know, have a decent entry based on some things and then hold to expectancy at least some good portion of your position size. And then it's just like this journey of like getting from here to here. And then you're analyzing, what did you do in here, right? Like, did you make a discretional decision? Did you see something that spooked you? Did some big seller come in? Or like, you know, like honestly, if every time you go look at a stat, there was some big seller, some, you know, somebody hit the tape or whatever the fuck, you know, like, but that didn't affect the stats in your back test, right? Like you're not looking at those things. Those are personal observations that you're making while sitting in a trade that you know the expect. And so like, again, like I think that becomes like the next tier of it, right? Is like, now I know. And so anything less than sort of like executing to the actual expectation, right? Because there's execution and then there's execution of a setup to the expectation of the equity. Right. Like, and then you're really judging yourself on where you're positioning, where you're scaling in and scaling out or adding and things like that, because you're supposed to know. And so I think but it's like a fun journey, right? It's like, it gives you a little bit better feedback loop to go and analyze your actual orders and how you actually executed the idea or the thesis or how you had it. So anyways,
yeah, Purdue's awesome at that. He'll actually go and replay the days that he trades to see how close that, like, his backtesting methodology matches the way he actually traded it. And I love that kind of stuff.
I did that today.
But no, the reason why I asked the question I asked is because it's something that I experienced when Dan and I used to play. It's an old game that we used to play, but you play long enough, you get some boosts and things, and there's like this little horse racing portion of it, and like you can throw a bet on it, but eventually it gets to the point where there's positive edge on that bet, no matter which, you know, the four options you pick. Like you're getting like I think it was like a 1.5 to 1 expected value for every bet, no matter what. So it get to the point for me where if I missed placing that bet when the opportunity would happen, even if I lost the bet, or would have lost, I'm still angry at myself for not taking it because I know the expected valuation. And I've not gotten to that point with my trading yet. And I feel like that's the spot I want to be at. You know, does that make sense? Like, I want to be mad when I missed taking a losing trade because I know that I have that much faith in these trades that I don't want to miss any of them.
Yeah, dude, the conviction. Yeah. Again, observational conviction, yes. Statistical conviction, and then, you know, I mean, like, you actually have to get in there and do it, and when you don't, it's discouraging. and listen, like, the other thing is, like, that, like, these stats, they don't show you the journey, right? Like, you still have to sit in this chair and watch it. Like, I don't remember what day it is, Mac, or maybe you can chime in, but, like, we like was short and was like, this is going to here. It's supposed to go to here on the 1 hour. That's like I'm putting my order here. And the market was just like doing this. And I literally, I was like, this is a pot of water trade here. Cause if I watch this shit, it's never going to boil. I'm literally like, here's where my stop is safe. Here's where it's supposed to go. I'll be back later. And it took another like hour and then it just went boom. I think it was like the guy at 8:12. The guy at 8:12 finally went. I think it must have been Tuesday or Thursday or something like that. But that, like, it finally went and then it was just boom.
I remember that trade.
And like, it's just, you know, but again, it's hard because you wanna just like give up, right? Like, yeah, Thursday was the long side was the same way too. Like Thursday, 4:03 or something.
Tuesday,
3:87
was the sell day.
3:87 long, and then Tuesday was the sell day. Both pot of water trades. Like, it's just lingering. It's gonna get to the OR. I know they're gonna do the Wonka move. Like, but they just don't make it easy. But when you know, like, when you have information that says it should go, you know, it's hard. To also see it to the expectancy too. So like, one, take the trade, two, see it out, right? Like, know your exit, know your entry, everything in between becomes analysis and you should be in the trade, to your point.
There's also another good point too about the difference of like watching it play out versus the back testing of it. Cause when you fast forward those bars at like 32,000 X speed, like, you don't get to see how the things play out. So when you're actually watching it in real life or at real time speed, and it looks a lot different than what it looks like in your back test. I think that can throw some people off too.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Yeah, or when you can look back at the you know, trade entries on a back test where you have, this is where the entry would have been, this is where the stop would have been, this is when you got paid. And I was looking at some and I was like, definitely would have stopped out of those. Like, just on gut intuition, and that one went all the way to, you know, target 3, and it fiddled around for a minute, and then, like you're talking about, but like, if I'd have been in that trade, I would have definitely scaled some, stopped to break even, and then gotten stopped out before the last two chunks. That was just something that I noticed too. Like, I think the more confidence you have in the expectancy of a trade, the less you're influenced by the wiggles, even when they look kind of weird or scary. There should be like two, maybe as safety hatches I could think of. Like, I could think of a couple things that, like, probably no matter what, if that happened, I'm just going to close it.
What makes you pull the ripcord?
Yeah, I'm going to, sorry, I'm out. What?
Yeah, what are they? Or give us an example.
Here's one. If I was in a short, I like to trade a little. I have some setups that come in before market open. So let's say I'm in a short at 8 or 9 o'clock coming into the open. And there's one thing, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes you will see just a persistent large market participant right before the open. It's like just a few minutes before usually. And it's not often, and don't pay attention to it during roll week, but it'll be like 50 lot buy. 50 lot buy, 150 lot buy, 100 lot buy, right where you know, like, that's where your trade needs to go. Like, you got to get through this 50 lot buy. And, like, I have large market trade orders showing up on my chart all the time. So I'm just getting boom, 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 boom. If we get a stack like that coming into the open and I was already short, I'd probably go ahead and cut that out, because that trade usually just, it's like rocket ship, like to the upside or vice versa to the downside. And if I was against that, I just have seen that happen a handful. It's not all the time. Again, this is like a handful of times I've seen that, but it always bangs. And like, I wouldn't probably take that as an entry, but that would probably be enough for me to be like, let's just pay ourselves here. We can re-enter later in the day on another setup. Like, that would be an example of something like that.
I like that.
I mean, I can think of a handful of times that it's happened that way in the last like 6 months or so. It's not been a lot lately. There was a point in time where somebody was bullying stuff a good bit last year. And I saw that trade like multiple times over a stretch of like, say like 6 weeks or something. And I was like, oh, is this going to be how we do it now? You know, like it's going to be this obvious, but you know, that would be one, like a crazy news headline that like was unexpected. I mean, you know, unless it immediately went in my direction, you know, if I was aware of it.
Invading Taiwan probably would do it.
Well, like here's one, like the other night when, and I know, like the other night when Israel did their thing, right? And the market just went down, 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 down. You know, in theory, if I had long setups,
you're not going to fight against
for Globex.
News trumps technicals, right? I think.
Yeah, I'd probably sit that out and let it settle. You know? But yeah, I think those, to your point, those should be few and far between. Like, it really should be few and far between.
It took me a long time to stop sabotaging my take profits by taking it too soon. Thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it really does come down to a comfort thing. And, you know, the other thing that we worked on, that I've worked on a lot with this round of testing, has been that expectancy drop off.
Mm-hmm.
So both from a time perspective and a points value, right? So if you've never looked into that on like setups that you trade, I would say that'd be something, not you, Kyle, but like the you in general. It's really interesting to be able to have statistical support for sitting in that for 100 points when you've scaled, say you've scaled three or four already and you're just sitting in one, and it's like, man, I could just be paid right here for like 60 points and, you know, it's $1,200 on a runner and be done. That feels good. But when you know that if it gets to that point at that time, if it's already hit T2, the percentage that it goes ahead and hits T3 is say 30%. And you're like, I'm robbing myself of this other 30%.
I think the one example you had was your T2 and T3 almost had the same exact percentages to hit. So why have the T2?
Bingo. Yeah. T2 was, it doesn't matter, but yeah, there was 4% difference. And the difference in price was almost $1,000.
Yeah, or reduce your scale at that spot, right? Like, that's a huge one too, right? Like, if you have equal EV at T2 versus T3, it shouldn't be like third, third, third or whatever. It should be like, you know, 20%, whatever. Again, like the PACT is great at that, you know, this pay line. And then like we're taking it there. But like if you know that, you know, like, yeah, it's not always comfortable to not take a T2 or whatever, you know, whether it's statistically right or wrong, but you can also ease into that by like, let's say normally I scale two here. I'm just going to scale one and see.
Yeah.
Like, let's carry half the position to T3.
And two.
And that's, dude, that stuff starts to add up fast.
Maybe figure out a way to trail stop for those two contracts that you normally scale out there or something.
Cover into strength at T2. And
yeah, the other interesting thing, just in my work that I've done, I kind of drew out in a chart the taper of expectancy. And now I don't want to sound like a jerk or a tool or something. So like, say 100 points as the extreme target, 150, 200, 250. When you look at this percentage to this percentage gets to this percentage gets to this, like you really can then contextualize the day types to give you that added confidence that you can't do on a back test. So if you have all these other conditions that are met for like strong trend and you got into the trade and you've done normal T1, T2, and you know that there's a 15% chance this trade goes 200 points just on a naked back test.
Skip T1.
Exactly. You've checked all the, and you've checked all these strong trend characteristic boxes if you're aware of that, or if you're looking at TPO and you know that we just broke into balance or out of balance or value or whatever, that can contextualize like that longer hold that then cheats those stale back test numbers to your favor, because it's not just 12%, you know, to get to 200 points when you can lay it against that larger narrative that's happening. So I think when you're aware of that, it's helpful. It can be helpful to contextualize that. Otherwise, it feels a little too. I found that I was feeling decision fatigue, honestly, a lot, and because I was thinking so hard and analyzing, you know, just nailing it, you know. I'm like, yeah. When you have a little bit more of that information, like that factual, it's a little more like when Cleo says, you guys sometimes sound like a pilot who's just watching the gauges and just reporting what's unfold, like what's, oh, we're here, we're there, and we should go here and there. And it's like very just chill. That's kind of how I want my decision making to feel and be as well, a little more that way. And so having that information makes me much more confident to do it that way. That makes sense.
That's kind of her to say that, but internally I'm probably screaming, ah, it's on fire.
Yeah, it's easy to say. Ox always jokes. Like, and Ox is good at that. He'll be like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah, like, it's like, like, you know, it's like, listen, dude, it's a daily loss level. Everything's fine. Like, it's like, you just do it, right? Like, and easier said than done.
It is. But. And you know, the other thing about that too, I'll say the last thing, I know a lot of folks trade with other people. Like all of us trade together at times and with other folks at times, and or have traded with people. And if you're in the position like I find myself in every day, or Flaherty probably finds himself in at times, when you know other people are watching, like every day they watch, or during that trade, someone's eyes are on your chart. They see everything about from, they heard everything you said leading up to the entry. They saw the entry or heard the entry, saw this, you know, whatever, and you're scaled, and you know that, like, statistically, this should trade to here, and someone's like, says something, it would be much easier for you not to feel like an idiot when it goes back to break even if you knew that, oh yeah, I know it might, but like 35% of the time it goes, so like, right, I'm playing the 30%. And then you're just like, it just is what it is. You're not the idiot. You're the one following the plan, and it's fine. You know,
it may look silly on this one instance, but if you take the aggregate,
that's right.
But that's a good point too, because there's another side of that where it's like you trade with someone who trades differently than you, and yes, they have an opportunity to maybe be in and out of the market like a dozen times before you've even gotten to your target. And it's very easy to, one, be like, hey guy, like, I think you're wrong, right? Which is like, I think, terrible to do, right? Like, because if you don't understand what they're doing, you know, you shouldn't be like, oh, this is a short. Now, sometimes it is a short and you should be like, hey, stop buying or whatever. But like, if you're looking for a 150 point road, like, target, right, and there's multiple, let's say there's a dozen rotations from entry to like where your target is, there's nothing wrong with someone else fading your idea. And from both sides of that, right, like, one, it shouldn't make you feel uncomfortable that someone else that you trust and know that they've done their work and due diligence in the market is long when you're short. But you should also recognize that, like, they're long and they're targeting, you know, maybe like a intraday, you know, rotational target, and you're short targeting a positional target, right?
Yeah,
a level to level target. And it's easy to get caught up in that, like, you know, like information distillation or whatever you want to call it, where it's like trading in a group is difficult. And if that's not something that you can do, and we, like, honestly, I feel like I'm decent at it, but it's still like, ooh, man, he thinks it's a long year. And a lot of times they're right, right? Like, but to your point, Baba, like, I'm going to wear this back to BE because I know the stats of my trade, but I really like where you guys just got long there. Fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but like, you have to, like, to some extent, like, it's like, I, you know what? I'm glad, I'm happy for you guys. I'm glad you got that. You know, that was a good spot. I saw it, you know, and sometimes maybe you can like we talked about, like, spots where maybe you would like make a game time decision or pull the ripcord. It's like, wow, three people I really trust all just got long here. And if I wasn't short, I might have taken that long.
Right.
You know, there's some spots like that, but that's difficult, right? When you're living in this sort of like setup statistical equity realization world of confidence, and you're trading with other people, you're either, you know, some, like, especially when they're trading a different time frame, they're trading rotationally, they're trading positional, things like that. Like, there becomes these moments where there's other elements short of, like, you know, order flow and like price action and like weird, like low time frame, hyper low time frame stuff that spooks you. Your friends can spook you too, right? Sometimes good and sometimes bad. And that's where I think like all of this conversation comes back to, of like, you either have the confidence statistically and observationally to make those discretional decisions to pull the ripcord, or to just sit in the stats and sit in the equity that you know that you're supposed to realize. And, you know, one, not try to influence other people, but like, they should also know too, right? Like this guy's target is 100 points lower than here, and I'm just looking for the next 35 point up rotation. I'm not sweating. Like, he's probably right? Like, 62% of the time, he's right. We're going to go down here, but I'm just looking for this counter rotation. So,
yeah.
You know, like, both can make money in the market. And in a perfect world, right? Like, I'm comfortable watching his counter rotation, knowing that we're probably going to take make the leg down or whatever, the leg up if it's a long. And he's comfortable knowing that, like, I think, you know, some solid stat, we're going significantly lower than where we are here, but he's going to be in and out of the market and probably even short on some of that leg.
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, I think there's that piece of it too, especially with trading with the group, is like, it's hard to sit in what you know when you're trading with a bunch of other people who have different data points, who have different trading styles and have different information. So, like, there's the market spooks you, there's your pod spooks you, and then there's you sitting in your observation, your statistical observations and stats, and like, you have to find a way to navigate that. And the market's already difficult enough, right? And you know, that's an added element. And if you, like, I know people that aren't good at that, right? And they, like, literally will have to mute certain people because their style messes with them, right? Like, yeah. they can't. Yep. You know, and that, like, literally be like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just going to put you on mute. Like, your style is not like mine, and I'm not as confident in my decision-making process. So I just can't listen to you navigate the market the way you do, because it causes me to make decisions outside of my plan, which is strong, right? Like, that's...
We've got people in our room who can't participate on voice or will take time away from voice to focus on themselves. And I've got no problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take care of yourself first.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
if the group's messing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's just that the, you know, that example is to the point of, if that is a struggle, something that might help is having a deeper dive into your expectancy and your setups and all that you kind should, of thing.
Yeah.
And maybe having a better understanding of what they're looking at too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. If you don't know what your pod's doing.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things. At least, like, say, well, like, Kyle, I feel like you're always on about that. Like, if I mention something that you're like, I haven't heard you talk much about that, or I don't think I've understand what you're like that setup, or you do it in such a way too. Like, hey, when you get fit, when, like, you get to a point in that where you could talk, could you talk back through that? You know, and even you've requested, like, hey, can you talk back through that and record it so that we can put it out for people? And I think that's, like, if there's, you know, stuff, people are doing things that either you're curious about or don't understand or whatever in your, you know, crew, I think that's where, like, the communal aspect can really be, like, can be beneficial.
Dude, how cool was hanging out with StockMD last Tuesday in the strategy development call, getting to see this thing that he was working on? And, like, man, it's really cool being exposed to other ideas.
And part of that call, actually, should shout out StockMD if you listen to this. Part of, like, I just thought how hard he's probably worked to get that to a place where he has it down to a science. This is what I want to do. Now, not anywhere in the realm of reality to what the way I trade, like what he's doing. I don't have, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is not what I do from the standpoint of like the way he arrives at the decisions he's making. We end up being on the same side of the trade often. Like, we messaged a little bit and shared some screenshots. One of the things that I thought was, he's put in all this work, but he also, like, he has all these very specific, like, he had some very specific targets, and he had, like, he's like, you know, I watched him hold that long, whatever night that was. He's live in a trade while explaining the setup and the like sharing this alpha setup with everybody. He's long. We come within like 3 points or 5 points of the exit, pull back a little bit, and I'm sitting there sweating for him because I, you know, who wants to be
come on, just hit this thing.
Well, who wants to be live sharing, talking about a trade, and you freaking eat one from almost a TP2 in front of everyone? Like, that just would suck. I was like, God, please let this thing go to his target. And he was like, chill as he comes.
He didn't care.
He didn't care one bit. And I thought, you know, and then I thought, I feel more confident on the one hand in what I do, obviously, than like it fits me better than what he's doing. Like, I couldn't adopt that and trade that. Just couldn't. Never could. Pieces of it could be helpful and stuff like that, but I couldn't do that. But I wonder if there's not something to learn from even the way his attitude was about that, because of all the work he's put in on the stat side, that like, I know I haven't actually squeezed all the juice out of that lemon. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. All right, well, coming up on an hour, and I'll be the one doing the editing because Laura's arm is jacked up. So
oh, no.
I think we need to go do some good, bad, and ugly.
All right.
All right, who wants to kick us off then? Tell us something good, bad, or ugly about your past week.
You're on my right, Flary. You go first.
Am I on your right? I'm on your... Yeah,
okay. Flary's in the middle. I guess maybe
yeah,
I
you're
should
in
go
the middle.
First.
Well, I'm on the left.
Yeah. No, I'm on...
I'll go first. Okay. All right. Let's see. Good. We've just got some stuff cooking. That's good. And
we've
got some stuff cooking, and it's good. And you know, whatever you do, if you pray, if you just send positive vibes, send them my way. We got some stuff cooking, and if it comes through. It could be just a big opportunity for myself, my family, and blah, blah, blah. But, so good. We've got some stuff on the stove. We're cooking.
Yeah, buddy.
The bad, I would say the bad is probably like along this like stats opportunity that we've talked about. Like, there's probably like three trades this week that, I took like a, just like a good enough, like, and it was a good enough, but it was like, I mean, we know the week we had, right? Like, we traded through this like 300 to 800 range several times, which is a huge void of delta and blah, blah, blah. Like, I had a lot of stuff that was basically like guiding this week, and let's just say probably left like 60% on the table on a bunch of entry positions, on each of them. And that's with taking a good chunk. And again, it comes back to this like conversation around like expectancy, EV decay, and like, what is the setup? Like, if you got to go back and be honest about like some of this stuff too, right? Like, we didn't scale early, we had good ads and all that stuff, but like, we also clipped the thing, you know, at a spot that felt good, and then watched it go significantly, especially in the option street. Man, I had like the up, down, left, right, BABA select start hammered on options.
Konami code.
Oh my God. I had it hammered on options this week. And I left several, you know, like literally like I'm flat 75%, 100%. And then in the morning, like 2 day, 3 day. So I, on Monday, I had Tuesdays. On Tuesday, I had Wednesdays. On Wednesday, I had Fridays. And all of them, you know, went like 400 to 500%. And I think I got like about 100%. So like, the bad would probably be along this conversation of stats and like, you know, like if you go back and you're being honest about like, did you actually go to the expectancy? I would say that answer was no on like almost every good trade I took this week. But they were all great trades. So it's like, man, like I left week maker month makers on the table multiple times this week. So there's a lot of missed opportunity on the table. Maybe that should be the ugly.
That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. Ugly. It's still cold in Minnesota, and like,
what? You don't have to have one. I mean,
dude, it's like, when is it going to be nice? Like, my daughter's riding her bike outside in a winter coat. It's freaking May, dude. There's two seasons. There's winter, and then like summer. That's it. So, I'm very much feeling that here.
We had the wind season. Took down a tree in my backyard.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that was not fun. The wife's terrified to sit in the living room now.
Yeah, at least it didn't hit the house.
Yeah, but the other one that's sitting out there that looks like it's going to be the same problem is definitely leaning towards the house. Man, good stuff, Larry. It sucks about leaving a bunch of shit on the table, but I mean, hey,
capture problem.
Some of it at least, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, my God. I had a new record runner on FOMC day.
Yeah, you did.
200 points, or just shy of 200. That felt pretty fucking good, I gotta say. But not only that, the trading I did on Thursday was just, it felt like it was on another level. I think I took maybe three trades, and this was while Baba and I were talking through a lot of the process stuff that we kind of, that led to today's topic. But man, we were talking through. We start talking about these spots that matter. I'm finding spots where I think matter to me. And then I see the setup happen and I just hit it and it just goes. And man, that just, I want to recreate that so badly. The bad. And I think it was Tuesday. I hit a personal drawdown on one of my accounts. I did the responsible thing. I switched over to another account, and then I made that back up, plus like an extra 75 points to top off the day. So I was feeling fucking amazing about that. I go back to look at the P&L numbers and the trades to review them, and I see that I left three take profits in place. It filled me long at an average of like, I don't know, it was like 820 on Tuesday, I think it was. That did not work out for my benefit. That account ended up being a max drawdown. That hurts. That really hurts.
Yeah.
And then to top all that off, the trading on Thursday that I was just talking about, it turns out that account might have been ineligible. I'm still not sure why Top Step X will let you trade an account that hit a max drawdown, but it's still letting me place trades. I was doing it again today just for the hell of it. So I might have done all that amazing trading on Thursday for nothing.
Well, not for nothing, though, because...
No, it wasn't for nothing. Yeah. It was... in the moment, like, let me say, in the moment, it felt real. And that's real. That's as real as it needs to be for me.
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent...
That's a big kick in the nuts, though.
those are prime examples.
I know, it's just crazy. I only traded like 2 days this week, too.
Yeah. Were you a little sick earlier in the week or something?
Yeah, I think I jumped on with you guys on Monday, and then we hit a couple bangers, and I just called it a day early. And then Tuesday, I was actually feeling a lot better, which is why I stuck around longer. But as you can hear, I'm still kind of getting over it now. All right, Baba, take us home.
Take you home. So I would say
don't take me home.
The bad is that I don't like to admit this, but it was laziness that kept me from putting in some of this work, because I've had all of the resources and have been trading this general idea since last fall.
Yeah.
So that's just bad. Like, that's piss poor. I deserve a swift kick in the nuts.
That sounds pretty negative, Baba.
Yeah, man.
Do you think Rich would say?
He'd probably say, "What's wrong with you? Why wouldn't you do that work back then, you idiot?"
No, he would not say
that. No, I'm just kidding. That's the bad. I mean, that's the bad. The ugly was, what day was that where I was like, my God, they're going to absolutely sell everyone's face off. And we were the 30th. So that was what? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Oh my God, dude.
Everybody wanted to long that.
Everybody wanted to long that. I think I was shorting everything I could that day.
Statistical conviction on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, my statistical conviction was maybe from a different mode of work, obviously, but I had an A-plus banger. I had an A-plus banger that I anticipated was going to set up, right? When we traded where I wanted us to trade, I didn't pull the trigger. And then if you remember the first little bit after like that last sweep up, it was super choppy and like annoying, right? And then and I was in there like sword fighting, like knife fighting with algos trying to get positioned, because at that point I was like, oh God, I should have entered up there. That was actually the setup, but I was, again, the confidence thing. I was like, I don't want to be that guy, you know, get blown out. And, you know, so that was the, I guess the, that was that one. It just ended up being that I fought with it to the point where, from a P&L standpoint, I'd taken a handful of stops, a couple of TP1s, and I was just frustrated. I felt myself feeling frustrated that I hadn't.
You even said at one point in that day that your trigger phrase was in your head.
Yeah, yep. I said, who the freak is buying this? Like, you guys are fixing to eat shit, dude.
And they ran the highs. They ran the highs too. Yeah. I had to puke that and jump right back in.
Yeah. Same spot, so
75 or some shit.
Yeah.
I was just looking through my trade log out there. I got every trade I took that day was short.
Yeah.
I actually thought I took some longs in there.
Yeah. So I was frustrated. I was frustrated by that and just had to kind of call it early before I did anything stupid. And I felt like for the room, like, I mean, for me personally, that was the right decision. And, you know, the thing that's bad or ugly about that is just if I would have just taken my setup when it happened, as it happened, with confidence, I would have never had to knife fight in the Dumbville. Like, I would have never had to be looking for entries down there with all the stupidity. But I didn't do that, and I suffered for it. I think the good is today when we had news at 10 a.m. swept the high. I was all in. I was in that thick with everybody on the free Friday, and it was a fun trade. And
sounds like you guys crushed it today.
We took some liberties with a couple of entries that weren't A plus setups, but they were good setups. You know, early, kind of just biding my time until I anticipated like we're going to hopefully get the trade, and we ended up getting that. And so that was cool. It was really fun being there with those. A lot of people in there today, I didn't really recognize their names. Maybe like, so that was cool.
Yeah, it's been nice seeing the Friday side starting to grow.
Yeah, it's really fun. And what's really funny about that is a little side. You can cut this if you want. But what's funny about that is I was excited about like all the stats work that I'd done. It's also, mm-hmm. And I have it all like in a document so I can reference it. And, so when that trade played out, I was like, hey, you know, I'm not going to take any more entries, but let's just talk for a minute about why I took this trade and why, you know, I scaled where I did and why I was looking for what I was looking for. And, you know, you said something, Flair, like, I'm not going to, give away your edge or whatever. Like, if you were on stream today, like, you got it 100%. Like, like everybody, like, I just drew it out. I was like, this is what I'm looking for. These time frames, here's the set. Not, like, I just was like drawing with Epic Pen on the chart. Like, this is why, blah, blah, blah. And it was just really fun to, you know, just share that with people. And not for the standpoint that, like, and this would be my caution here, like, don't go try to like copy what makes sense to me or what I'm doing necessarily. That was the point, was not that. It was like the benefit of having all of that sorted is that there's a measure of confidence to execute maybe when everyone else is a little bit afraid. Like, yeah. I was so excited. Like, when we, on that news, I was like, oh, God, dude, there it is.
So huge. You know? It's awesome, man. It's so awesome.
Yeah. That's why I enjoy doing that work, especially with guys like you.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
And I get to, obviously I get to steal your setup too, so.
This is true. You're welcome to it. You definitely are privy to it all, so.
All right, let's get a bold prediction then. Let's wrap the show.
All right.
I might have to change mine. I think Flary knows the one I was going for, but I might be changing it.
Oh, are we doing market shit or what are we doing?
Well, you can do whatever you want.
Just any bold prediction?
Yeah.
This shit ain't going higher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, dang. Well, I can't. It won't be bold if I say where I think I want it to go. So
this is lose it, test it, nuke it on the daily weekly. And it's cute that the 1 hour and the 4 hour and, you know, we're doing this trend up. And yeah, you know, there's the daily weekly includes like another, you know, 200 to 400 points up. But More.
No new all-time high this week? More. That's not the prediction?
More. I mean, bold prediction. I honestly don't care, but bold prediction. This we haven't seen the re-offer from the high time frame yet, and I think we may have seen it at that 050 quarter potentially, you know, or whatever. Like, it's somewhere up in there. There's a lot of stuff from like 050 to like 18.4, and somewhere in there, somebody's gonna fucking lean into the old red button. Is my prediction.
You think there's gonna be a big red boner candle?
Yeah, yeah. Days? And everybody's sitting on the exit. Yeah, everybody's sitting on the exit, and they're ready. You know, the matrix of the geopoll world loves to align with, you know, when everybody's ready to sell. So we'll see. Maybe there's some other, you know, you'd have to go check T-Plex's or whatever he is now, M Labs. I'm sure there's some cycle stuff due in May or something. You know, it's something's coming.
You're gonna have to send me your bold predictions before market close on Friday, so I can load up the shop account with some puts. All right, Baba, you got something good for us?
Well, I was gonna say, like, you know, I want to see us trade a lot lower before we do any more higher. So, but that's not really that bold, I guess, because you just kind of let the cat out of the bag. But we talked about that 18.050s today, like before we started the day. And so that was like also just was fun being there with everyone, new people I don't know, whatever, and kind of bang that. Let me see here. I'll see if I disagree with you or not.
Oh, I forgot about that. Well,
oh, yeah. Yo, is it bold to say I think Red takes down the next tournament he plays in too?
He's already done that, by the way, too. So he won the MSBT on Sunday, and he also won like the daily biggest buy-in tournament of the week yesterday. So,
oh man,
the guy's just a stone crusher. But I would say bold prediction on that too, which is going to take a while, is there's an MSBT event in Michigan that's called Fire Keepers. It's the biggest tournament of their circuit. First place is like 300 and something obnoxious $1,000. I'm saying he final tables that.
Ooh. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Well, yeah. If since the big player's bold prediction was that we go like low or whatever,
just stole it again.
Then I'll say that we trade that 225.75 trades before the lower
18.225. Oh, before we go lower.
Before we go lower, that's bold. Well, somebody's going to blow something up this weekend and we're going to gap down.
I know, right? All right. Okay. Well, I was going to do something around Red, but I think in light of all the work that you put in, Baba, I'm going to make a prediction about you. And you can stop me if this is going to put too much pressure on you, but I think that May is going to be the best month you've had since you've gone pro.
Well,
That's my prediction.
Let's go.
I think so. I mean, not because I'm like, whoa, because I'm the man. I just, I feel real, I'm starting to feel so much like I used to feel when I'm sitting here.
You seem a lot more comfortable. You seem a lot more confident. Like, this difference in the way you've been trading since, I don't know, probably around the start of this year, maybe? Maybe a little bit after that.
Well, I would say January. There was some hot streaks and like little fireworks in January and February. But if you actually take the cumulative total, it was like,
yeah.
But like probably end of March, like last little bit of March and into April.
So I think you take the momentum that you got now, and then you throw some stats behind that and some confidence with it. Man, look out.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll have a good time either way.
I like that.
Yeah.
Can I set up a trade copier?
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't be the first one to ask. And the thing I always think is, yeah, you think that, you know, like you know, someone thinks that, not you, but like others, you know, it's like you'd want the trade copier today for sure. It was a good day. You don't want the trade copier that day that I was like, that I just need to walk away. Like, you know, you just like, you probably don't want it that day.
Right. So. All right. Well, I think we did an episode. I think we figured it out.
Yeah, we get back in the groove, dude.
I know, right? Definitely got to say thanks to Flary and Baba Yaga here for joining me tonight. And everybody who listened or sticking around to the end. Also, thanks for throwing in the comments and and engaging in the chat with the heckling. Remember to show our panelists some love. You can click on those links in the show notes. Check out that new combined Discord where you can ride rockets with Baba and Banks every Friday morning on the free side. You can join in on those bi-weekly strategy development calls. Be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully as impressive as FOMC's price action. Until that day, hit that 5-star rating so we at least hit new all-time highs before someone hammers us back down to the dirt.
Let's go.
That's how you outro a show.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.